Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Richard Shorewright.
Yeah, good evening. I've just checked the time. It's, well, just gone past 6 o'clock. You know that because the news has just been on. And apparently, the football season has started this weekend. And apparently that means that we don't talk about Rugby League on the radio anymore. Oh, no, that's just BBC Radio Leeds, because every Monday through the season here, unless Sky move a Leeds game, we will be talking Rugby League between now and 8 o'clock. Kick people. Matt Hawthorne's hiding in the corner.
Howdy, Rich.
You don't agree with those views, do you, just in case you want to work for the BBC in the future?
No comment.
Good weekend?
Quiet weekend, Rich. Just did Warrington Saints on Thursday night and then became a bit of an armchair supporter for the weekend, which I quite enjoyed. Watched Hull Cast and then the two games on Saturday on the telly for me. So,
well, I hope you took everyone's advice with that game on Friday and muted the telly and listened to Radio Yorkshire's commentary.
I just muted the telly. I'm not good at syncing it up. I needed the wife to help me do that. She's the expert at syncing commentary up to telly.
That's fair enough. Also here, excited because, of course, it's almost the 13th of the month, which means the new 4020 is coming out. Phil Kaplan is here.
So that's two broadcasting institutions wiped out within 2 minutes of starting. I'll have nothing to do with that, but one of us is wearing a Helen Skelton short skirt, which obviously will put the three people who are listening off.
And sadly, the webcam is not working, so they won't know that it is, of course, Rugby League Hall of Famer Gary Schofield, who is. Gary, good evening.
How are you, Rich? Okay?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Good weekend. Good weekend. And I say, I still can't get over. Still can't get over the big chip and chase by Dave Taylor. Absolute sensational. That's not just a highlight of the week for me. It's a highlight of the season. Dave Taylor, the bookend. But what I will say to every bookend out there, that means you're the front rower. Please don't try it, because you'll make yourself look a fool. He's a little bit different, is Dave Taylor. But no, good weekend in Rugby League. And yeah, enjoyed most of it, and I'm sure we've got some good talking points.
At RL on RY, if you know any of those talking points. It has been a fairly quietish weekend on the field. There's been no major controversial moments or dramatic thing, apart from obviously Dave Taylor's chip and chase, and the two Challenge Cup finalists being beaten in the week after. We've got plenty to talk about tonight, not least including the woes of Whitehaven and Workington. And Cumbrian Rugby League, bottom of the Championship Shield, the first round of the qualifiers. Plus, if you've been watching the Olympics, you'll have been watching the Rugby Sevens in Brazil. Exciting Rugby League developments in South America to come between now and 8 o'clock. We're going international. But
Continental, as the Storm Roses would say.
At RL, on RY, the places to get involved.
So, just before we get going, Rich,
yes,
we've mentioned this earlier when we were doing the last tackle, which will be available later tonight, stroke tomorrow. What we're looking for tonight, we're going to put it on the Twitter, we are looking for a Cumbrian origin side, so that needs to be people from Cumbria, so we're looking at Lee Mossett, Ben Harrison, Kyle Amore and people like that. We want to get together a Cumbrian origin side that could pose a serious challenge to a potential Lancashire stroke Yorkshire origin side.
Are we bringing back the Roses match? Is that what we're bringing back this evening?
No, it would just be interesting to see what kind of side you could pick.
I'll tell you what, I'd say it'd be a quality side. There's plenty...
Send your suggestions in.
Yeah, there's plenty of, you know, Cumbrians playing, you know, in Super League and also too in the Championship. You know, there's plenty of quality there. I can remember the last time Cumbria played England before the World Cup in 2013, and, you know, they gave it a great... A great goals getting nothing to finish up 18 Peacefield, and also the crowd there, just over eight, I think there's 9,000 people there.
Was that for Gary Purden as well? So added resonance as well.
But they're still going to turn up because they want to see quality rugby league.
Well, look at the attendances at Workington for the last World Cup as well, 8,000 when Scotland were playing. So again, I think there's an issue about are there enough people that will individually watch the clubs? I'm not sure.
Phil.
But there is to watch Cumbria.
Phil, without a doubt, because you know what? When you look at the professional game, unfortunately, and it doesn't give me any joy in saying this whatsoever, because I love going into Cumbria. I love the Cumbrian people. They're absolutely rugby league storm barmy. And I say, when I've gone up there many, many times, whether it's doing presentations or speaking, and you know, it's a great night out of there. And all they are, they're just rugby league, rugby league, rugby league. And you talk about people to watch the game. You look at, I think, somebody said to me a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Craig Murdoch, say, when Kells played Wath Brow, they got 2,500 people there. So there's stacks of people there who, but they just want to watch quality of play. And at this moment in time, well, the amateur game is more quality than what the professional game is being brought to them.
675 at Whitehaven against Bradford. I mean, I know we've got issues about the Shield, and yes, players will say we want to win silverware, but there isn't a huge amount of value in winning something that is not quite being good enough to be in the main competition. And two will get relegated, but bringing back Cumbria as an entity to play England Knights, because we've spoken on many a Monday evening in here about what has happened to England Knights, that some of the good kids that we've seen coming through, a lot of the Super League clubs and even at top championship clubs, deserve the chance to play at a higher representative level, but possibly are not ready to figure for England. But if you were to take the England Knights to play Cumbria, that's a meaningful fixture.
I agree, totally. And the Cumbrian people will turn out and watch quality, but at this moment in time, they will not watch rubbish. And well, that's what they're getting.
I think you'd also get guys like Kyle Amor, Brad Singleton, wanting to play for Cumbria. I think it would mean something to them.
Would they ever want to turn out for Cumbria?
And to play for Cumbria against the England Knights, you know, you've almost got a trial there, haven't you? A proper meaningful trial.
I'll tell you what, you look at the, you talk about the England Knights, can you? For why not have the England Knights play Cumbria, Yorkshire and Lancashire? They'd be meaningful fixtures, wouldn't they?
Well, again, as long as we get fixtures that I think you might want to put in the Southern Selects there as well, so that they've got four fixtures, because a lot of new players are coming up through those ranks. But just get some games where, instead of Whitehaven playing Bradford and understandably Bradford fans saying it's not a competition that we really want to be in at the moment, we'd rather hear about the future of our club, get the Cumbrians some games on there that actually mean more than potentially avoiding the drop.
At RL on RY, we've already had some suggestions for players to be in.
Craig Murdoch could be the coach or manager.
Or media officer.
We have
one different hat he wears.
Greg McNally. There's your fullback, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The hooker's done for me, Sean Lunt. Mm. End of. Brad Singleton. Mm. There you go. There's three already.
Kyle Amor. That's not a bad front row, is it?
Yeah, but would you play Singleton at loose forward and put Mossop at the other prop?
Well, you could. They've already got a pack that's quite intimidating, that's for sure. Particularly playing on Cumbrian soil.
So we've already started this evening by looking at the bottom of the Shield. Let's jump from the bottom of the Shield to the top of the Super League. Keep those thoughts coming in, by the way, at RL on RY. Studio at radioyorkshire.co.uk if you want to email us with anything longer than 140 characters. Looking at the top of the table, we'll start with Hull FC, who are still top after the defeat against Castleford on Friday night. Gary, a very exciting performance from the Tigers, probably too little too late in terms of making the top four this season, but I guess it showed us glimpses of what they can do on their game.
Without a doubt, and I say, and when Dallow looks back, you know, if he looks back at the season now, and I say, they're 7 points away from the four, aren't they? And, you know, they reckon, you know, if they can win 5 out of 6, they can maybe get there, but unfortunately, the top four at this moment in time are not going to lose enough games for them to get there, but Dallow will just be again so frustrated with the point of view where they've lost against Salford, they lost against Hull KR, they lost against Widnes. So when you look at that 6 points where Dallow and his coaching staff would have ticked the box to say, yeah, that's going to be the 2 points for us this season to get us where we want to get. And it's just been that inconsistency all season. But what we did see on Friday night was quite simple. You know, what Cass are all about. From 1 to 17, you know, it's a pretty strong side. If Dallow could have had that side the whole season, then I don't think they would have any issues of being anywhere near, you know, or maybe in that top four, to be honest with you there. But from 1 to 17, totally outstanding. And, you know, the big move for Dallow on the Friday night was, you know, when he made the four interchanges, they just made a huge impact. Scored three tries when that happened. Luke Gale again at his scintillating best. He had absolutely Mark Snead on toast. He didn't need any butter as well to rub the salt in the wound. He had him on toast all night. And I tell you what, Jon Minnikin as well, if he's not a future England centre, and I don't know he's, because we're not very strong in that department on the international scene, he was outstanding. Rangi Chase getting back to something like a bit. We saw that magical pass what he gave for that match winning try. But Castleford overall, absolutely outstanding. And as I say, it'll be a big question when Dallow does the end of the season, you know, recess of how it's gone, it'll be what if. And as we mentioned before, Phil, before the season started, they had the ambitions of the top four, but it's just been the inconsistency, hasn't it?
And taking into account injuries, and they, along with Hull KR and possibly Leeds have been the three clubs most affected by the greatest number of injuries. It's the defence that's let them down. We know they can attack. They love to attack. They are the great entertainers. In many ways, a lot of people's second favourite team. But you look at, even now, their points difference is -9, conceded 656 points. I think that, again, is what we'll be looking at and saying, yep, we know that we can give you the structure to express yourselves. That's what Classic Ass has always been all about. Mm. But there has to be a level of defence in there as well. You will lose the ball when you play the way we play. You've got to be able to turn around and back up. I just thought it was great to see Rangi back and looking happy. I don't know what the long-term future is for him. I think that he has been offered a two-year deal, but both parties will sit down at the end of the season and just see how he is and if he's happy with it and if he fits in with the personalities there. When you think they've got Andy Lynch to bring back, who's arguably their best forward, and Michael Shenton to bring back, who's their captain for next season. And another signing apparently on its way, Greg Eden to come in, even though they lose Luke Dawn. Ben Roberts has hardly played this year. He adds something different to the mix. It's exciting times. And Darryl will be frustrated, but when you mention people like Minikin, some of the other kids that have come through, Holmes at halfback, the one thing he will be able to say is, I've got a bit more depth in my squad and quality now because these kids have shown up and they can play.
Boy, oh boy, can they play. But you look at the other side of it, the black and whites, they were disappointing. A bit disappointing for mine.
But were we surprised?
Yeah, I was, to be honest with you, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Wembley's 3 weeks away, and what Hull are looking for now, you know, they want to tick that box of finish the top after 23 rounds, and Radders wanted a response after the semi-final, but he just didn't get it. And
there was massive emotion and a physical toll in that game against Wigan as well.
Yeah, but the physical side of it and the emotion, you know, they wouldn't have done a lot of training this week. They would have talked about that as they do nowadays in the remit or the rehabilitation, whatever terminology they put on it in today's game, but to go out there, you know, and perform like they did was very, because at times there was no purpose in the performance, there was no organisation, and again, they need to do more with the ball in hand and creative point of view. Don't just be looking to play off the back of a kicking game, and they need more from Frank Pritchard as well for mine. You know, when he was on there for the first time, he was non-existent, you know, but then when he came on for the second stint, he thought, I'm going to have a go here, but my big point is with Big Frankfurt, it's simple. When he's on there for his two 20-minute stints or 15-minute stints, what he does, he needs to be injecting himself more and more and more, because when he did that for that 6 minutes, they looked pretty good, but it was far too late.
But it looked, I mean, I don't see him every week, but he looks as though he's put on a bit of timber in the last couple of weeks. And it may be that he could only manage 6 quality minutes, but
that's not good enough, though.
Something, yeah.
You know, the guys in international is on big dollars. You know, that's simply not good enough, is it?
I had some sympathy with the fact that both Hull and Warrington this week found it very, very difficult to get up, having spent all week talking about getting to Wembley. It is difficult then to take your energy levels into the next game against a team that hasn't played, that's had 2 weeks off. And I think Castleford's tactics were magnificent. Mm. Kick to the corners, run them around. If you've got any stiffness left in your legs from that big game against Wigan, try running 100 metres. Mm. And again, that's partly down to Luke Gale's brilliant kicking game. It was pinpoint. But I think, again, the idea of Darryl Powell's tactics seemed to be, if you can get the ball out, which you're good at, keep it moving. Run them around, tire them out, and Minikin did stand out, and I know that when he was at York, people had earmarked him and said, you know, this kid could go all the way. We talk about England Knights, on a performance like that, you'd want to see if he could play a level up at the end of the season.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't run him out of the England spot, to be honest with you, but also as well, I think he just told at the end, his interview to the press at the end of the game lasted for about a minute and 40 seconds, so that just tells you for the right.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was hugely disappointed with his players, the way they performed, with the way they applied themselves, because he wasn't happy with that. He knew what it took out of him at the semi-final, and they said, they addressed all the situation there, he wanted a reaction on Friday night, and he got one, but it was a very, very poor one.
And I think he would, obviously he knew by then that Wigan had won comprehensively,
exactly,
which closes the gap.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very hard to take your foot off the gas. And does it make it almost impossible these days to win a treble?
I tell you what, as well, the Hull fans are pretty hard to please.
What were they doing?
I think there was booing at half time, and also
I'm assuming they were booing at the referee.
Well, I don't know, but Matt can't possibly have been booing at the players. His missus is a big Hull fan, but also as well, when after the game, you know, I went into the sponsors' place, and you know, with the Hull fans there and what have you, and they were just literally so disillusioned and just saying, well, we're never going to win at Wembley playing like that, you know, we're not going to get the King Kong offers back, we're not going to win it, you know, 115 years, it's going to be next year 116 years, you know what I mean? And I was just thinking to myself, yeah, it wasn't the best performance, but boy oh boy, don't be writing them off yet. What was your missus like? It's big old fan, Matt. What was the scenario at home? Were you in the spare room?
No, she's very realistic, and she was kind of expecting it to happen. Because it's that thing that we've just spoken about. It's the emotion of getting to Wembley, and it's the week after, and they might have had a good weekend on, which they fully deserved. And there were a couple of bodies missing as well, weren't they? From the week before, Jordan Abdul came in, and unlike where he's dropped into the side before, and he's come in and turned a performance on, he wasn't quite there on Friday night either. They were missing Fanua as well in the centre.
I think that's...
And him and Manu down that right-hand side have been a powerful combination. And the fact they'd had a settled side going into the semi-finals, these changes that we made on Friday probably just unsettled them a little bit. I'll tell you what as well.
You mentioned the emotion again, and Phil, you've mentioned it. Right, let's just... Because I want Hull to win the Challenge Cup. You know, there's no two ways about that. I want Hull to win the Challenge Cup. You're talking about emotion now. Hull are in a chance of winning at the top, so they're going to win the Hood Cup. You know, finishing top first time in Super League, then they have a chance to get to the Grand Final and winning that. So we're talking about emotion here, right? We're talking about the Challenge Cup in nearly 3 weeks, just short of 3 weeks time now. If they lose that, are we going to say because of all the emotion, all the disappointment, and not winning the Challenge Cup again, whole season's going to be gone and finished? Because the emotion will take over, they're not going to be able to come back to that.
I think.
What would you say? How would you react to that?
Again, just going back to Friday night, I think losing Talanoa and Fanua is massive.
Yeah.
That gives them a lot of go forward. But I think what would have disappointed Lee Radford the most is he basically said after the semi-final to his players, there's places up for grabs.
Exactly.
So I need to see the best of
exactly.
And he didn't see the best of the fringe players.
This is what I'm talking about.
And he would have been disappointed about
that. And he didn't get a response.
So it's not the guys who we almost know are going to be playing at Wembley.
Correct.
It's the Curtis Nortons and
the Jordan Abdul,
the guys who have a chance to force their way in if they were to play supremely well in these 3 weeks. I think he would probably have been disappointed that he didn't have any selection dilemmas after that game.
Well, right, a situation.
But I do think you spend all week talking about
a big situation here now for Radders, and quite simple. He's not playing good enough at the moment, and he hasn't been playing good enough for a while now. But Jordan Abdul needs help at number 6, and he hasn't been getting it from Sneed when he's been playing there. So now, does he say to Leon Price for the next 2 games, put yourself in the shop window? Is that a big dilemma? Or is he just saying, well, Tuma Vahve, I'm playing you at the centre there, and then I'm going to play at 6 in the final?
But on Friday night, Scoey, one of the things the wife did say when she got home was, Carlos Tuma Vahve can't play at centre. So you can't win, really, can you? She's definitely of the opinion that Carlos Tuma Vahve needs to play at standoff. So,
well, Leon could play loose forward. I'd have him on the bench for the next 2 weeks just to say, look, if we need you, if anybody gets injured, you need to be match fit. You can change a game. You might not be able to do it over 80 minutes anymore.
We'll be sure here now, Phil, and also too, Matt, it's quite simple. Radders haven't got time to experiment with positions or combination. The Challenge Cup's only a fortnight away. They've only got 2 games. Won't be easy against Widnesses Thursday, and then they've got Catalans. You know, the Thursday after, so that, you know, they're looking still the ambition of the top 4. So it ain't going to be easy, and he ain't got time. He hasn't got time to be working on combinations.
But I hate to refer back to Leeds. Now look at Leeds 2 years ago. Got to the Challenge Cup final.
Absolutely.
Lost every game up to Wembley. And then, lost every game after Wembley?
Mm. And even last year,
after Wembley.
And having had a Wembley that wasn't as emotional and didn't take as much out of them physically, they didn't win another game until the last second of the match at Huddersfield. Mm. I mean, you've been to Wembley a couple of times with Leeds. What was that week after the semi-final when everybody's asking you for tickets and the club are saying, you know, we need to measure you up for a suit, and it must distract you a little bit just to know that you're going to Wembley, even if you've got other league games?
Well, me personally, no, it didn't, to be honest with you. No, because that's what you expect from people, don't you? So it wasn't a distraction for me, Phil, to be honest, because you know what I'm like from a personal point of view, as far as, you know, where we from a psychological point of view. No, it didn't worry me.
But were there players in the dressing room who it did? Not that it worried them, but who got caught up in all of it?
I can't really answer for them because I won't really know what their thought process was. But if I'm a believer, if you're making that as an excuse, then I think it's pathetic for a professional sport, but to be honest with you. But again, you know, talking, and I'm putting a point across here, we're talking about emotion, and Radders didn't get a reaction after the semi-final, so if it goes wrong for Hull at Wembley, is it totally going to go wrong? We're talking about emotion. Mm. I hope not. I want Hull, you know, Hull to do the treble, and certainly I want to win the Challenge Cup. There's no two ways about that. But are the players, we're talking about this emotional thing now, are them players in with the expectation, put themselves in a position where they are, can they handle that added pressure on the emotion of what's going to happen to themselves?
I think if they do win at Wembley, it will be similar to Leeds winning at Wembley in 2013.
Yeah, the Cup Carlisle.
And 14.
14, and that'll be it then. Very hard to put a performance. You know, but even the players,
yeah,
I think,
exactly,
because
players,
of the whole
the
weight
the
speckies, of...
There's players in the speckies, couldn't care less. They'll just go on holiday for 5 weeks. Simple as that. They couldn't care less. But if they don't win at Wembley, then I reckon that could be the end of them, the way that they performed the other night, I'll tell you. I do.
So who's now in pole position then?
St. Helens for mine.
Really?
St. Helens.
Oh, the team that were ruled out 5 weeks
absolutely,
ago.
Absolutely, by everybody. Not
yeah,
just
yeah.
by
no,
myself.
No, absolutely.
By everybody. Every Tom, Dick and Harry.
League leaders side, I would think Wigan are in pole position at the moment now.
Well, they're the next at Cass, aren't they? That'll be interesting.
Be good on Friday night.
Yeah, that'd be excellent because there's no love lost at this moment in time between Dal and Sean, and I don't think there's much respect from a point of view, not as coaches, but I just feel as though Dal doesn't respect the way that Wigan play. Sean didn't really appreciate that the way that Casford came with excuses when they beat him in the Challenge Cup, so I don't think there's any love lost
because Sean
some...
Wayne never has any excuses when his side loses.
But
that was Mark Wilson.
Nice.
What's he doing rigging here?
Nice. Nice to see you back, Mark. And there's no love lost between the two coaches there, so I reckon this could be quite tasty on Friday night between Cass and Wigan. But yeah, Matt, I'll agree with that. You know, Wigan, they've been there, seen it before, the motivation now, you can, you know, Sean O'Loughlin saying in the League Express today about the focus is now on the grand final, St. Helens, they're coming up very, very nicely and very quietly. And one thing for sure, what I enjoyed on Thursday night was seeing the smile back on Kieran Cunningham's face. I like Kieran, I like him as a bloke. As a rugby league player, second to none, we all know what a legend he's been, and it was a delight to see the smile back on Kieran's face.
And to be fair to him, even when we've said they're not playing particularly well, he stood by his team.
Absolutely.
And he said, yeah, the results might not be going our way, but I'm seeing things that I like.
And I believe in his team.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think, again, for that to suddenly, you know, it started to turn his way, I think, he deserves huge credit.
And
for
another
that.
Thing as well, Phil, and I say, Matt, you watch a little bit over there because you cover one into the windows and you might see St. Helens more than anybody else, but they're not still playing the prettiest, but they're getting the results, and now you can see everybody's complimenting each other, he's got a settled side, the big players are back to the form, so it's good to see.
Jordan Turner sums up what they've done in the last 6 weeks. Since he's got his future settled, and he knows that next year he's going to be the next Josh Hodgson at Canberra, then he seems relaxed, and now he's playing. And when he plays, he does offer. They've got some great backs. It's just wonderful to see Johnny Lomax back. I think, you know, if nothing else this season, that's the great bonus for St. Helens.
The other thing about St. Helens now is that pack has got a bit of animal in them as well. And you think they've got Walmsley in there. Kyle Amo started on the bench.
That's their best as well, Matt.
Amo's on the bench on Thursday night. Joe Greenwood's playing out of his skin as well. And
Louis
think,
likes a fight.
Yeah, but look, Andrea Savelio's at Cass on loan. He can't even catch in that Saints side now, and he was one of the mainstays early doors in the season. So that kind of tells you where they are. They're at pack-wise Saints as well.
Well done to Kieran, you know, I say, because he's seen something in that dressing room, he's seen something on the training paddock week in and week out, day in, day out. Well, we're not seeing, you know, we're only seeing 80 minutes of rugby league every week from him and making his own judgment. But yeah, I'm delighted for Kieran that he's turned it around and he's got that smile back on his face.
But the big game of the weekend is actually them against Catalan. Because if Saints were to beat them at home, then that 4-point gap with only, five matches still to go would actually be quite big. Whereas Catalan themselves, Dave Taylor included, looked like they were a little bit back to the Catalan we know, although, were you disappointed with Widnes?
Yeah, very disappointed.
Because you watched the game.
Yeah, I was. Richard coming in?
In Perpignan.
Richard's got a big smile on his face here.
I'm just smiling. I'm waiting to hear about Dave Taylor again.
Again.
Oh, yeah, sensational. That tip over the top, wasn't it? But, just talking about Widnes. They got themselves in good field position, but just at times they were just clueless and, turning the ball back inside. Well, if you do that against Catalan, he's just going to get smashed. And the Catalans' tries, they came for Widnes' mistakes. They were 10 metres from, the Catalans' line and the silly pass from Hanbury. Broughton goes 90 yards. Corey Thompson, too indecisive to take the ball in the full. Do I go for it? No, I don't. Then he decides to go for it and he cops it up. And then a couple more penalties that led up to a good field position. Catalans didn't have to work, Phil, to get themselves a good field position because, Thomas Boss is getting back to some...
Well, they've lost him now for the season.
It looks that way a little bit. So he's a big loss then. Because obviously, Myler's not good enough. It's as simple as that. I'd rather play myself than play Myler, to be honest with you. But,
and you're wearing his wife's skirt.
But there's, but I'll tell you what, play his wife. She might do a little bit better, if I'm honest with you. Get her back from Brazil and, stick her at half back. But because Todd Carney, he's lost a bit of confidence, to be honest with you there. But yeah, the Carlins did okay. I wouldn't say they're anything like the real deal that we fought after about 15, 16 games. But I tell you what, Dave Taylor, highlight of the season. Not just the chip and chase or a chip over the top, but the big man himself. The big man. He don't just chip over the top, but he regathered. He didn't even regathered. And I thought to myself, Dave, just go around the full-back and just score an absolute peach of a try. But he tried to be a little bit clever. The winger didn't react in. Threw a pass out to the sideline, but went there. But highlight of the season for me, the Dave Taylor. I'll go with the Tom Johnson try as well. So, yeah, it's up there with Tom Johnson, but... just a bit of an insight here to all you bookends out there. Don't try that, please, because you make yourself look a fool. Dave Taylor's a little bit special when you look at him as a front rower. So please, all the bookends, which if you don't know what a bookend is, you front rowers out there, you should do. It's simple. Don't try it, because it won't come up.
Do you think Dave Taylor will be getting a letter from the Prop Forwards Union?
How do you do it?
No, just stop doing it.
You're making us all look fools.
So you did well to get back from Perpignan as well.
Yeah, well, it's...
The illusion.
There's ways and means, Mr. Kaplan. There's ways and means.
Yeah. Thought that's what the tan was.
At RL on RY, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon on anything to do with the wide, wide world of rugby league. They're now having conversations about things like... I guess it's my own fault for suggesting that guy was wearing a skirt in the studio. I can only expect the flack that comes
from...
We've
not had no responses on that. Well, people ask us the question.
No, it's all right. We're going to head now to, would you believe it, Rio de Janeiro, I think, where Michael Waydock is there. Michael, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time it is in Rio.
Good afternoon to you from Rio, where it's just gone 2:30 in the afternoon. So, yeah, we're 4 hours behind you. Hope you guys are back in Yorkshire okay. Welcome to the Olympic Games, the greatest show on earth. Yep, and we've got a bit of boxing later on, and obviously another evening of swimming finals as well. So, yeah, the action continues around the clock here in Rio de Janeiro.
Excellent stuff. It doesn't here in Leeds. It ends at about 10 o'clock, as you well know. Michael, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the day in Brazil.
Thank you very much.
Michael Waydock live from Brazil, where it's all going on, as opposed to Leeds, where it's, sadly, it's not. We're talking rugby league until 8 o'clock, although we are watching the rugby sevens at the minute. We'll talk more about sevens, nines and things later on in the programme, because it's an interesting talking point. But Matt, we've had some tweets.
We have. I've not updated him yet.
That was my fault for stealing your computer.
Just on the back of Michael, I think we made a mistake in calling the middle eights the qualifiers. We should have called it the repechage. Rugby league repechage.
Andy King, Saints millimetres from losing on Thursday, but you're raving about them. Had they lost, they would have been written off RL as a game of millimetres. The PFU chairman.
Every millimetre matters.
Yes, the PFU chairman, David Taylor, is a disgrace. I don't think I can say that other word, can I? I dropped my pint when he pulled that stunt.
I'm glad you said that properly.
The wife is saying the four semi-finalists should play each other the week after the semi-final. Cass and Saints had the advantage of a week's rest. Which is possible when they work the fixtures out, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, Wigan and Wakefield did. So why didn't Hull... Well, Hull Warrington would have been... carnage, wouldn't it, a week after a semi-final, especially with the ramifications that could have had towards the end of the season.
No one's ever going to be happy.
We're going to have a special guest after seven as well.
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah. Gary Chambers talking about the Cumbrian origin side, so...
Does he want to coach them?
He will do, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You
can ask him that.
You know, it's not a pretend, he's a pretend team, it's not real.
Ah, no, but no, he's well up for it, Gary, honestly, trust you. You'll know Gary, won't you, scoring?
Yeah, good front row on himself. Yes.
So St Helens, apart from Kefir, always tweets in that he doesn't like him and Cunningham or whatever, they are the current incumbents of the team that is going to win Super League, apart from Wigan and Wrexham at home. Maybe the Catalans and possibly the Castleford Tigers. Wigan second in the table with their big win over Wakefield, because they've actually scored some points this week. And I don't think there's much you can say about the game. You know, Sam Thompson has scored 150 tries now for Wigan.
I think we should say the words Judah and Massive, because it's one of the best names in rugby league, especially as he isn't.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's not. It's
Judah. Judah.
So no, it's good to see Wakefield giving a couple of young kids a run out.
I think another club here we've got to talk about now is demise of Huddersfield. Has it been? Has
we
it been?
Into the that's enough on Wakefield.
Yeah. Well, as we mentioned earlier about Wakefield, didn't we? On what you can see later is the fact they're getting the chance to put the kids in.
Exactly.
Which is what Hull did last year.
The opportunity for the kids there, put a marker down for Chris Chester and say, listen, if some of the senior players now, and I think Ben Jones, has he gone for operation or something? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, so if these players, you know, if they're carrying injuries, want to go for operation. I think Scott Moore's mentioned it today in League Express regarding, you know, some players now, they might as well have an operation, there's nothing for us to play for.
I don't think Danny Kerman's going to play again this year.
So these young kids, the same at Wilkinson Rovers, as well, I saw yesterday, these young kids, they want an opportunity to put a marker down and say, listen, give us an opportunity and we'll prove to you we can handle it week in and week out.
I think the other thing as well in terms of crowds is that if you are a Wakefield fan, and I don't know any Wakefield fans, I think you'd go and support the team that is playing the young kids. And if you're going through the motions with the guys that have played all year, that's fine, but it's limited interest when you know that the results can't take you anywhere. But if you want to go down to Bellevue and you know that on the team sheet is going to be a couple of the guys who just played for the Academy International, then why not? That you want to be there at the beginning of the journey. You want to say, I was there when they made their debut. We saw them play in that match against Warrington in August, and we knew then that James Batchelor was going to be a great player and all that kind of stuff. And if anything, we'll keep fans involved, and Richard obviously will be the person to ask. It's seeing young kids play when the games on the table don't matter as much.
Well, hasn't that been one of the main, somewhat only highlight for Leeds this year, is players like Jordan Lilly coming through? And you can say, ah. Because some of the players haven't stood up, but the young players have.
I think it's every club, you just want to see the next generation come. But I have a worry that we've just played an Academy International Series against the Australian schoolboys with teams made up of players who are contracted to Super League clubs, some of whom have even made their Super League debut already.
Smith, Wardle.
And they've been spanked. And that, for me, would be a worry. I think there is an issue there that we need to look at. I know Gary's got some ideas about how we coach youngsters in a far too regimented manner, which means that we'll struggle to beat Australia if we take them on in that game. But I honestly didn't think that our academy team would lose by 50.
No, at all. But also as well, we talk about regimental as well, Phil, right? You know my two grandkids, they're down at Alton, right? One's five, Olivia, Isaac is three. Do you know what they have them doing? Wrestling techniques. Now, what sort of rubbish is that?
Thank you, Michael Maguire.
What sort of rubbish is that? Wrestling techniques, 5 and 3 year olds. And that just tells you, and they say, We're playing the schoolboys exactly the same, playing into their hands, playing robotic rugby league, just playing, you know, percentages, completion. We have got to put in place now, and I know that the buzzword is systems or structures or whatever, but we have got to start putting in place now, our kids are 8 and 9, where they need more use of the ball, need more use of playing into space, need more use of letting the ball do the work, instead of just playing structure, and these young kids who have got a bit of vision and a bit of awareness, unfortunately, is coached out of them. And until we start realising, because you know, it's like an old adage at school. If you copied off somebody at school, you're not going to get any better because you don't know what you're doing, do you? And it's exactly the same in sport. And, you know, and for us to go down there with full-time professionals in this academy and getting us absolute backsides kicked, then it's simply not good enough. So we have to change. We have to change the way that we coach these players from a very young age and let them doing what they do best, and that's playing what they see a little bit and play with vision and awareness and let the ball do the work.
I think there's also an initiative been started by Francis Cummins, who set up his rugby school of excellence starting
at
under-13s. And yes, it's probably too late. We should be doing it.
It's too late.
But the fact is that somebody has taken it upon himself to get these kids to learn skills rather than structure. And he's had Kevin Sinfield down doing a kicking masterclass. I think Danny Brough's going down to do a...
he'll have plenty of time shortly.
Out of hand kicking, yeah. The date may be changed for that now. But obviously, I think that's where we need to go, isn't it? Doing specialist skills in specialist positions.
Yeah, but also as well, though, right? And, you know, I'd like a phone call from Francis Cummins then to myself.
Well,
you should be doing
halfback,
I'd like a halfback masterclass. I'd like a phone call from Francis Cummins to say, Francis, let me come down there and let me teach your halfbacks, because whatever philosophy you want to put it, you know, plotting around the field, playing what you see. You don't need to be involved all the time. And organising your forwards. Say, listen, this is where we're just going for this moment in time here. And plotting a way around the field. And what that does there, it just gives your halfbacks the confidence to say, well, I don't need to be touching the ball just here now, because I know exactly where we're going to go. Because I spotted that defender over there, how he's tired. So what we're going to do there, we're just going to keep attacking him for the next 3-4 minutes. Then we're going to leave him alone for a minute or two. Then we're coming back to him because he's not expecting it. So that's called plotting around the field. Mm-hmm. I'd love a phone call from Francis Cummins, because I think I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about vision and awareness. And for me to get involved with kids who are 10, 11, 12 and 13, and what I would be saying to them as well, I say, listen, if a coach at times says to you, don't be doing this, I'd be saying to the coach, listen, I know exactly what I'm doing, even at this age, I know exactly what I'm doing, I'm confident in what I'm doing, and I'll get results. I'd love a phone call from Francis Cummins to get the best out of these young kids who have got vision
and
awareness.
But why isn't it the RFL that's doing that? Why does it have to be a private individual who's spotted the gap in the market?
I'll tell you why, because they don't know what the bloody hell they're doing, I'll tell you, one thing for sure. And I'm getting a bit annoyed now, because I care so much about this great game of rugby league, and for it to go down to Australia again and get his absolute backsides kicked by playing the same boring rugby league. It hurts. Mm. I'll tell you it hurts, but there's a way forward for us if we get right people in the right places coaching these young kids.
Yeah,
and that's what it's all about. And I don't want to say, I don't want to see my grandkids doing wrestling techniques at 5 and 3 years of age. What enjoyment is that?
But the other great thing is moving to summer is supposedly to allow us to coach more skills.
To coach more skills and let the ball do the work. Exactly. Anyway, what do I know? Make you laugh, don't they?
No, but
make you laugh.
But the thing is, somebody at the RFL surely is sitting there analysing these two results from the schoolboys going,
well,
there's something majorly wrong here.
But they don't.
And the other thing is, we've had Sport England money for elite training programmes. The England national team has dropped down from 2 to 3 in the world rankings, and our kids, who are presumably the next generation, are getting spanked. And some of them are Super League players. The other thing as well is it brings us back to the debate about who and why Wayne Bennett is looking at picking players who are heritage players, because he looks at the academy results and goes, well, what talent have I got to work with?
I agree totally.
So we're playing into the hands of those people.
Absolutely. And like I was, you know, we're working with Craig Murdoch, certainly over the weekend, and he was saying, and I was going back to my day a little bit, but he was saying, you know, where is the next Schoolfort? Where is the next Fowler? Where is the next Long? Where is the next Cunningham? And I said to him, like, from our days, where's the next Lydon? Where's the next Euler? Where's the next Schofield? Where's the next Gregory? Where's the next Crooks? Where's the next Hanley? Where are they coming from?
Well, we've all watched a bit of under-19 rugby, even if it was just as a curtain raiser. Do you see any kids coming through now that you could say is the next Paul Sculthorpe at under-19?
No.
I mean, we've seen some of the cream of the crop just absolutely hammered.
I've seen Morgan Smith play a couple of times.
Who was in that team that got beaten by 50 at the weekend?
By 50 at the weekend, and he did alright. He got a run in the Challenge Cup game against Oldham, got a run in Super League the week after against Leeds, and played alright. So, but he's a Leeds lad anyway, isn't he, Morgan Smith?
Mm-hmm. But we need specialist people like Craig Murdoch, like yourself, like Francis Cummins, like Yestin Harris, who will work with the best kids that we've got.
And do you know what,
paid
Phil?
For yeah, centrally.
Yeah, yeah, and do you know what, Phil? Do you know what? We'd all jump at the chance. Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you know what? We would all jump at the chance to give something back to the game that has given us, you know, a great career, seen the world, yeah. You know, to really enjoyed ourselves, and give something back to the game. But I'd say the experience, what we've got, we don't even get asked. It's an absolute joke. Mm. It is.
That needs to change.
It's a joke.
It has to change.
It's got to do, because, you know, and what I'm hearing now, we with these academies, what are the professional clubs, they're all school teachers. They're all school teachers. What the hell do they know about going out there in the trenches? What do they know about, you know, playing at highest level and playing under pressure? I know myself when I took my coaching badges, and my practical was the kicking game. And no disrespect to the gentleman who was assessing me, but I passed it, got me award, and then he just said to me, there's two things here that you need to work on. I went, I need to work on. I need to work on. Do you realise the sort of kicking game when I had and played against Australia, New Zealand, and played in cup finals, this sort of thing, and under pressure? I don't really think I was too bad at tactical kicking and chipping over the top and drop goals and goal kicking at times. And it pinpointed a little thing where it wasn't talking about vision or awareness, Phil. It was simple where I didn't have the point of the ball on the right point of the foot. And you could tell exactly how frustrated I was when he said to me, and that's what I had to work on.
Was the point of your foot then directed somewhere else?
And I thought, what do I need to work on that for? Have you not seen me play, you know, when you know, and I'd retired now, when I, you know, took my badges, and I thought...
I did my golly coaching course under Phil Larder, so that's not all the enthusiasm out of me.
Yeah, let's move on. But as I say, with all these academies, like I say, speaking of Craig Murdoch, you know, because he's an agent, he looks after these young kids and whatever, and they've all got school teachers. There should be ex-professional players in there who's been in the trenches, seen it and done it.
Even more than that, I think we need to do road shows.
I think
we need to take a group of people down to wherever there are kids playing rugby league and say, you know, twice a year, you'll get the celebrity roadshow come down, and you select your best under 12s and 13s from the East Midlands region or wherever it might be, and we'll send in Paul Sculthorpe, Gareth Schofield, Craig Murdoch.
Well, do you know what, last year, Phil?
We'll do a summer camp.
Do you know what, last year, Phil, me and Paul Creary, the Barra coach, good coach as well, Paul Creary, we did some coaching clinics up in Cumbria, and what I did, I got two sponsors, they gave me £1,000, so I got balls and bibs, right, and we did coach of clinics up in Cumbria, and it was only for around about an hour, 80 minutes, but it was all game-related stuff, and everybody had their own individual ball. All we did was making sure four different parts, 20-minute sections, and all they did was just ball, different drills, but I tell you what, at the end of it, you know what the parents said to us? They said, we have never, ever been so enjoyed at watching our kids train and with a smile on the face. Because you know why, Phil? They wasn't just stood about when we was explaining stuff. We said to them before we went out, this is what's happening. Sections here, section there, and section here. 20-minute segment there. It's all ball work, all game-related stuff, and it was just total enjoyment with the ball. They absolutely loved it. But did we get any response from the RFL? We got no backing whatsoever.
Anyway, Scoey.
Yes, mate.
Tiger from Wakey. On Twitter says, Scoey, feedback's a gift, now get that kicking practised. There you go.
Feedback's a gift?
Yeah.
Go on, tell me what you're saying.
He's saying you got the feedback about your kicking technique was wrong, so feedback's a gift, get practising your kicking. Phil knows what I mean. Anyway. Anyway, earlier at the top of the show, we asked...
That was really all right, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, all right, okay.
At the top of the show, we mentioned about getting our Cumbrian origin side together.
Oh, yes.
After seven, we're going to be joined by a man who will potentially coach this side in Gary Chambers. So far, we have Greg McNally at fullback. I've made an executive decision and picked Craig Calvert on one of the wings.
They've got many players in the back line, haven't
No. And the front rows, Kyle Amor, Sean Lunt, and Lee Mossop, and the loose forwards Brad Singleton, and there's Ben Harrison to slot in there as well at the moment. So
what about Liam Harrison, his brother, Barrow?
Yeah, there you go.
Liam Harrison's a lazy pack.
Have got any halfbacks?
Not at the moment, no. Craig Murdoch probably at this rate.
I showed the two Toms who were in the studio with me yesterday, Craig Murdoch's tries at Twickenham, because they'd never seen them before, which are well worth watching. Mm. Very, very Sevens-esque. in their scoring as well.
But also as well, as I mentioned the Huddersfield before we got into the debate about the academy, right? Yes. And the new Huddersfield coach here now, Rick Stone. Phil, this is what I'm talking about here, where we're talking about Australian coaches coming over here, and he's coming out here now and saying to first of all, I don't think he rates his players. He doesn't know his best team, and then he's talking about educating them. These players are professional players, and they have been for many, many years, experienced players, decent players, and he's talking about education. Well, we can remember the last time the Prime Minister and Tony Blair was on about education. Well, the way that they're playing at this moment in time, it seems like they're going to nursery rather than going to high school, because quite simply, they have not responded to Rick Stoney one little bit. I believe Huddersfield have made a huge mistake. They should have stuck Chris Foreman in there when Andy Kelly's been out in Australia. Andy Kelly got a great response from his players, and also as well, Andy Kelly and with the chairman Ken Davey, after that defeat against Waverley in the Challenge Cup, they were very open and honest about it. If the players didn't want to be there, they'll ship them out. It would have been far better if they'd have stuck with Chris Foreman for 3 weeks. Andy Kelly, he has all the respect to the dressing room there. He would have got a far better response from Rick Stone. I believe it's been a huge mistake for the Giants. They're struggling to maybe stay in the Super League.
I could understand appointing Rick Stone for next year. And I think there is a parallel here with Rowan Smith at Bradford. I think if you bring somebody in who wants to effectively do a pre-season...
But it's not pre-season,
it's too late.
Exactly.
This is do-or-die rugby. There's no standing up the day after and saying, I think I might have picked the wrong team. I'm not really sure, you know, what he can do. And this is the way I want to play, and I'm giving them something new that they need to learn with 6 weeks of the season to go. No, you can't do that. This is knockout football. This is something you don't have in Australia. You can be at Newcastle Knights, and you can change the way you play halfway through the season, because if you're not going to make the eights, you've got time to do that. You don't here. We have cup competitions where you don't get a second chance, and we now have the repechage where if you get it wrong, you're not going to be playing in Super League next year.
And Olympic rowing.
I think we said at the time that it was an interesting appointment to bring someone in whose first job would be to learn who his team were. Because you haven't got the time to do that. At least Andy Kelly knows all the personalities in the dressing room.
Yep.
Not frightened to make a tough decision if
Correct.
It needs to. Has the backing of the board in that if he wanted to make a decision about who should or shouldn't be in the team, his job is to bring the next generation through. If he sees a couple of kids that are worth their place, knows physically and mentally where they're at, and could even drop a major name to let them have it. That's what Andy's been doing. That's what they're building towards. You bring Rick Stone, he goes, here are all these people you've never met. Would you like to turn them into a cohesive unit? It's almost impossible for Rick Stone to do, never mind anybody else. That was a risk, bringing in an Aussie, in the same way, you know, Bradford haven't been best served by almost starting again two-thirds of the way through the season. You can't do that.
But again,
the pressure's too big.
But again, Phil, it's just a situation where, you know, the people, you know, who have our clubs and whatever, they always think Aussie's best. And it's not at times, is it? It's not.
Well, I don't know Rick Stone well enough to say whether he's a great coach. He's got some glowing testimonials from people like Kurt Gidley. But I still believe that if you're going to make a change that drastic, if you're going to change the way a team plays, you do that in pre-season. That's what it's all about. You come back in November and you say, here's our philosophy, this is the way we're going to play, I want you to be our general, you're good at that, I'm going to promote you up the ranks and play you, and you who've been a brilliant servant, I think, you know, you'll be on the outer a little bit. And you do all that when you've got the time to meld all that together. You don't do all that and say, by the way, we're playing Salford on Sunday. You can't.
Mm. Well. They're in big problems. They've got problems, and they're in big trouble.
Well, they've got the three fixtures they've got next are all against Championship teams.
Well,
so
they've got Featherstone, Batley, and London. Batley won't be easy at Batley.
No, and then they've got London after a week off. So you would think
is
the
London
fixtures,
at London, or is it at Huddersfield?
I'm sure Matt will get the fixtures up. But they've got the fixtures they need to put 6 points on the board.
A bit of confidence back.
Yeah. So it may well be that what happened at Salford isn't going to be terminal, but you'd worry about the mistakes that they made. Apparently it was just one mistake after the other. Struggle to, with all the attacking armoury they've got, struggle to score points.
Yeah. Yes, big problems for the Giants. And I think as well, you know, Rick Stone is talking about...
They're at home to London.
Well,
so they've got three games.
That'll be a big crowd, won't it? That'll be a big
crowd.
It's
a Friday night as well, Scully.
It'll be huge. Just for giggles. We'll be, oh, no, don't send me there, please. No.
No, I think we'll do
it. No,
we'll probably do Leeds.
They've banned me from taking my pillars. You know, I don't want to go. Please don't send me there. But, you know, we're Ixton. You know, the issue is what he's got to say. He doesn't know his best team. He doesn't know how the team wants to play. But I just feel as though the dressing room as well. There's got a few problems in that dressing room. And they're in big trouble. They are in big trouble.
You think they're destined for the £1 million game?
Saints Hull that night as well, Rich. That's a potentially bigger game than Leeds Salford, to be honest.
No, I don't know. We'll find out.
It could be to win the repechage.
What's that mean, repechage? What is it?
Second chance.
Oh, right. Well, I'm from Belisle, so you're gonna have to explain them things to me.
Well, I'm going to make you the coach of Brazil if you can't speak too
long. I thought it would have started in a restaurant or something like that. I did.
A bowl of repechage to share around.
Yeah, is that what it means?
Do you want repechage with that?
we haven't explained the Brazil thing yet. We'll talk about that after 7 o'clock because we are approaching the news, which gives me time to read you this because. The biggest and best Leeds United competition around is back. You can win your place in our Radio Yorkshire Box 44 as Guy Mann takes charge at Allen Road for the first two home games of the 2016-17 Championship season. On Saturday, the 13th of August, Leeds face Birmingham City before Fulham come to town on Tuesday, the 16th of August. And you can be there in style in our executive box enjoying a pre-match three-course meal before taking in the action from our private balcony or just sitting in and... you want to go to the football? You're into this competition.
Is that a prize?
No, I lost them, Rich. I lost them.
Go for the meal. Go home afterwards.
I lost them, Rich.
To be with a chance of winning, head to radioyorkshire.co.uk/ry.
I'll have a reservoir.
You'll serve the repechage.
The repechage.
Fill in the form by 10 a.m. on Thursday, 11th of August. Terms and conditions on the website, radioyorkshire.co.uk. You must be 18 plus to enter. Good luck if you're entering and you're listening to the podcast. If you haven't done it by Thursday, tough, you'll have to wait until next
time. We made that difficult for you, didn't we?
We did, but it's time.
Proper Sport at 6.
I think they need to work on their edge defence, the Great Britain Women's Sevens team. New Zealand have taken lead in that one. Matt Horton, introduce our guest on the phone.
He's a very good mate of mine who I do lots of Warrington games with. Good evening to Gary Chambers. How are you, mate?
Hi, mate. How you doing? All right.
I'm good. We're talking about Cumbrian Rugby League tonight, and I know it's something we've spoken about on air, and this Cumbrian origin side that I know you'd love to coach. So let me tell you how far we've got so far. We've got Greg McNally at fullback, Brett Carter and Ryan Shaw on one side. We're a centre missing. Craig Calvert on the other wing. We've no halfbacks, but we've got a monster pack for you to coach, Gary. Kyle Amor, Sean Lunt, Lee Mossop up front, James Donaldson and Morgan Knowles in the second row, and Brad Singleton at loose forward.
We just need some Australians with Cumbrian passports.
Yeah,
You've got, what about Will Sharp, who's at Halifax?
Yeah, that's something. That, he can play on the wing, can't he? Or at centre?
Wing, mate. And you've got, who else is floating around? You've got Sean Lunt. Brad Walker's a good kid, as for witness.
Who needs halfbacks when you've got a pack that good?
Yeah,
you don't need them.
Just steamroller.
No, James, you've got James Graham, if you can talk him out of Australia. His dad's Cumbrian. I'm sure he'd have a run out. And I was having a laugh with Matt about it a while ago. I actually heard that Dave Taylor from Catalans, he's got his Cumbrian name. I think his family comes from Penrith.
Gary, it's Scully here. Listen, we're talking about a Cumbrian side, not a rest of the world side, son. Okay. All right, mate.
All right.
I'm all right, mate. You keep the Aussies out of it. But I say we've just been told it because... the quality, you know, certainly all the production line certainly what's come from Cumbria, Gary. We've just been talking about, you know, the demise of Whitehaven and Workington and the quality, what people want to watch up there. It's at this moment in time, it seems to be that the amateur game is more better quality than what the professional game is, isn't it? Because the crowds aren't just turning up, are they?
Ned, I spoke about this with Matt a few weeks ago. If you look what you've got in a real small area, maybe 4 or 5 miles, you've got teams like, you've got Kells, my old club, you've got Loughborough, and you've got Egremont. They're all playing in that top division, and you know, I know when I've been a ball, when you go and watch Kells play, there's 500, 600, 700 people around a touchline there, you know, just going to watch an amateur game, and it makes it real tough on your Whitehavens and your Workingtons, because lads have got good jobs. There is quite a bit of employment up there, and you know, to be going up and down country on a Sunday, you know, with your professional clubs and all that extra training, and they could be, you know, they've got they can get double shifts and extra time and you know, and overtime and things like that. It makes it difficult for your professional outfits to recruit players, which mm-hmm. then means you've got to go down to Lancashire and Yorkshire to bring them in. It sort of adds, it makes it real hard work then for coaches to try and put a team together.
Because I've been working with Craig Murdoch this week, Gaz, and they were telling me the other week, Wath Brown Kells, he said there was about 2,500 people watching then, and my big question to everybody in Cumbria is quite simple. In when Cumbria played England in 2013, and certainly from the last year's World Cup, the Cumbrian people, as we all know, they love the rugby league. They're absolutely mad about the game itself. But they will turn out to what's quality. And the point is here, we Whitehaven and Workington, they just haven't got that quality, have they?
No, it makes it real difficult, mate. They're struggling to put a team together because they bring lads from out of town. They're spending a fortune on bringing them up there, but it's what they've got to do. Whereas a few years ago, when Whitehaven and them were strong, you had the likes of even my own brother was playing there. He likes of Graham Morton and Aaron Lester. They were a strong team then under Steve McCormack, and it's difficult then when you start bringing lads in. I coached him when we played in that. There was like an Anzac one-off game, and Craig Bellamy and when Bennett brought a team over Australia and New Zealand, there was 7,000-8,000 on Derwent Park just watching that. So they love it, mate. They love it. It's massively popular up there. But you know, at the moment, the amateur teams have quite a strong pull over the professional outfit.
Do you think there'll ever be a Super League team in Cumbria? Is there a chance that the professional sides there will have to work together? Because again, going back to what Gary's saying about they'll only watch the best. At the moment, you're going to probably have the three Cumbrian teams playing in League One next year, and I can't see a way out from that.
No, it's difficult. It is. Will they merge? You've got obviously they're not massive clubs, but that rivalry is there's not a lot of love lost there between them. And I'd like to think that you could do it, but. If I was totally honest, no, I don't think it will. It's going to take a big move and quite a lot of investment to make it work, I think.
It's a conundrum, is it? And no one seems to want to solve it, either nationally or locally. What can the RFL do? What can we as a sport do to reverse? Is it a reversible decline?
Well, I guess all of the Cumbrian people can answer that themselves, but I don't know if any RFL have really backed it up, to be honest with you. But yeah, Phil just mentioned that merger there, and at this moment in time, there's no one in it. It should have been done, when the Super League came in, it should have been done there, and eventually the Cumbrian people, as Craig Murdoch said to me over the weekend, they would have lost a generation of fans because, the merger would have caused all sorts of problems, but eventually it would have come round because what they would have been getting, they would have been getting that quality up there, of your Leeds and your Saints and your Warringtons, and we all know that, and people in Cumbria, will go watch quality. It's as simple as that, and it has missed the boat. Now, it should have been done, it should have been done 15, 20 years ago, and I know it wouldn't have gone down very, very well, but unfortunately, to move forward and stay with the times, that's what they needed to do. But I say, guys, it's far too late now, isn't it?
It's difficult, mate, now, because of the state of what you've got with your amateur club, your professional clubs now that are going to be playing in that lower division. The crowds aren't going to be there, so you've lost a little bit of that tradition of people turning up and getting 1,500, 2,000 in there each week, which, at times, even recently, under like Steve McCormack and Paul Cullen and them at Whitehaven, and certainly with Workington as well, there was good crowds there. Showing up there and they're just getting a little bit frustrated now, I think, because they want good rugby and they like good rugby. The amateur system's strong, and if they're not getting it, they're no more, so they're going to go and watch your top amateur teams, and Craig's right, mate. You get 2,000 turned up stood around an amateur field, and the atmosphere is unbelievable, but they're not going to turn out if they're not seeing that quality elsewhere. And I feel sorry for the professional clubs. They are trying, but to get that quality and they're having to go out of town, spending more money what they really would do on lads who are travelling. I think Barrett are trying under Paul Crary. I think, Paul's obviously an experienced coach and knows his stuff, good Cumbrian coach, and, very knowledgeable. And I think they're trying to build something down that route. But therein is another problem, is that distance between Barrow and Whitehaven and Workington. It's a big of a journey to go from one end to the other, and you know, and where you would put your ground and that. That's all, these are things that, you know, when I come here, these are all the things that we were talking about there. And I do think you're right, Matt. I do think, yes, you've got to bite the bullet. Yes, there's got to be investment. And you know, you can go to your Londons and places like that, and there's nothing against them, but Cumbria is off bed, you know.
Absolutely.
Have you seen the Cumbrian Academy play? Because again, the other thing we keep saying is there's an endless supply of talent in the area, but has that really worked? Because that's sort of a partnership between Workington and Whitehaven, and that was going to be the way ahead, but they seem to be taking a few hammerings.
Not work, mate. No, I obviously I've watched Warrington play them, and I've got a lot of good friends who coach them, and that, and they struggle to get lads. They do, you know, and because again, a lot of these lads will vote to go and play amateur. We'll go and play for Kells. We'll go and play for Egremont. We'll go and play for Wathbrow. If there's a big game on and they've got training that night, then that has a pull. Believe it or not, There's a big culture of, you know, they go and play, that's the draw at the moment for them.
So is the answer to form this notional Cumbrian team that we've been talking about and get them to play an end-of-season game of meaning against the England Knights or the full England team or Scotland or whoever it might be, maybe even get them to play two or three games so that Cumbria can be kept together as an entity even if the professional clubs are playing at the lowest tier?
Without a doubt, they love it, you know. I guarantee you, whoever you roll a rep game out up there now at the end of the season, and you'll get thousands of flock to do it. No issue at all, you know. They'll turn out and they'll go and watch it because that's what they want. There's not an issue with that. It's a no-brainer, you know. It's not a gamble.
We're off the Coventry instead.
Nominate Gary and Craig Murdoch to coach the team, then. Obviously, you'd love that, mate, wouldn't you?
Oh, I've enjoyed it. I really have. Craig's a good lad as well. He knows what he's talking about. As I say, we are. You know, we're passionate about it. You know, it's you know, rugby and passionate about being Cumbrians in that area, and it's massive for us. You know, it's all we know, and you know, there is a lot of it goes on up there, and it's a shame that in a way they've maybe been a little bit missed out. You know, especially when it's such an important area, I think.
Well, Gary, thank you very much for your time this evening. It's always good for us to check in. In an area which is sadly neglected in the world of rugby league. But thank you very much for your time, and fingers crossed that there's some improvement in the game at the professional level up in Cumbria.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, all the best, guys.
Care, guys.
Cheers, guys.
All the best, mate. I'll see you guys. Ciao, Matt. Bye-bye.
That's good stuff, that. Interesting. It's interesting because it's not too far away, and yet... Well, it is. It seems.
And it's a great night out. It's a fantastic night out.
I knew it would come to
my only question about... up in Cumbria, I mentioned it yesterday with Craig Murray. I says, have you had a good night out? You've had a couple of sherbets, but when you go off for something to eat, and they do...
This is after you got back from the south of France.
They do lovely athletes' kebabs up in Cumbria, but what they seem to do is, they don't seem to know, like down here, they sling it all on you, you know, your chilli sauce and your garlic sauce and your kebab meat and all your salad all together, all piled over there, and they make it all separate. It's like two portions. And when you get into it, and you know, you've had a gallon and a half, and you're thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, you don't know what you're doing, so up in Cumbria, please, all you people who've got kebab shops, sling it all on, because that's what our town is like.
Before you complete that squad, Martin, I've got to tell you, the British, we are great at inventing new sports. So what we've done today in the Olympic rugby women's sevens, we thought, you know, sod these sevens. Like, we'll have five on our team, because they had two players in the sin bin for very technical offences, which obviously us as rugby league people.
Well, one of them was an obstruction, which you get...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So,
hammered anyway, so no one cares about rugby sevens anymore.
Let's just say good evening to Sean Lunt, who says, I like the sound of this, guys. Cumbrian and proud. Another heart.
We've got the captain.
We've got the captain. So, Sean, you're captain now. I'd like to thank Jordan Walker, who's been in touch with me on Twitter directly. He's now come up with a few suggestions. We've got 13 players. Had to do a bit of a shake around.
Does Jared Sammet count on resident rules?
No.
Oh, Phil, please. So
he's playing for working.
Oh, do me a favour. We're talking about Cumbrians here.
Okay, we've moved Ryan Shaw to fullback now.
Right, okay.
Greg McNally can go
halfback. Greg McNally can play scrum half.
Brett Carter is still on the wing. We've moved Morgan Knowles into the centre because I think he could play there and get away with it. Will Sharp, Craig Calvert, McNally.
I thought Will Sharp was from Bradford.
Well, Gary says he qualifies, so if Gary says it must be right. Greg McNally at standoff.
Yeah.
A young kid, Jordan Johnston, who's but witness, who's going to play at seven, and then it's Amor, Lunt, Mossop, Donaldson, Harrison, Ben Harrison comes into the second row, and Brad Singleton at loose forward. Three on the bench so far, Greg Richards, Will Mayer at Cass, and a young lad who's in the Cass Academy who's gone on the tour called Jacques O'Neill.
Liam Harrison at Barrow, stick him in as well.
Oh, there you go, there's your 17.
There's your 17, Liam Harrison. There we go. Cumbria, you ready? And they'll rip in. They'll rip in against anybody, the Cumbria boys.
And we've appointed Gary James and Craig Murdoch as the coaches, and Scoy says he'll carry the kicking tee.
Oh, thanks.
You can be the kicking coach.
He's in charge of post-match kebabs, by the sound of it.
Hey, nutritionist. Players nowadays are eating pizza after games, so we've got to start.
Nutritionist, Gary Schofield. Hydrologist. Sports scientist, Gary Schofield.
As Rick Stone says...
Well, you've coached up in Cumbria.
I have indeed, and as Rick Stone says, I'll they'll enjoy themselves and they'll play with a smile on
the
face.
It's just the pride. It's tapping into the pride.
They love it. Cumbrians love it.
If we genuinely... I mean, I don't know what the future is for club semi-professional rugby league, but if both...
Well, Phil, we're getting in dire straits at this moment in time because they've had to ask the players to take a 30% pay cut, so they're in dire straits.
They've barely had a home match, have they? I think the fixtures have just been terrible for them. But if Workington Whitehaven did get relegated, which is what the way it stands at the moment, and they are 4 points adrift of safety, then you would have Barrow, Workington and Whitehaven all in the third division. You're then going to have Toronto in that division that they've got to overcome. You're looking at, in the immediate future, the whole of Cumbria and semi-professional rugby league being at the lowest level. So... to counteract that, do you seriously resurrect this Cumbrian team and say they're going to have a minimum of three fixtures at the end of every season, maybe one away, because the guys quite like to go away, all the bonding aspect, and two at home where they could get 6,000 or 7,000, one at Whitehaven, one at Workington, and that'll put some money into the coffers of Cumbrian Rugby League, and we build it up ourselves that way.
Absolutely, I agree. Well,
yourself and Craig Mellett were talking about this on commentary yesterday at Hull KR after you'd flown back from the south of France. That, they're quality players in the Batley team, but perhaps they don't want to play in Super League because they've got jobs that pay more than
exactly. And also, as well, they don't want to go full time because. They may not be playing rugby league week in and week out. They've got decent jobs, as Craig Murdoch said. They might be getting 22-25 grand a year, and then playing at Batley it might be what, I don't know, 12-15-18 grand on top of there. But the big thing for them lads is quite simple, looking after the, first of all, the family interests, but secondly they're playing rugby league week in and week out, and like Gary Chambers says, the job situation up there, we all know they work at a lot of work at Sellafield from there, and they're on good money, so why do they want to take that plunge? At the end of the day, they just want to play rugby league week in and week out, and that's why they don't want to do it. Simple as that.
But aren't we having the same issue with refereeing? That we insisted referees went full time, and actually now, what is the benefit of that? In that a lot of the guys, like Gareth Hewer, who's being given semi-finals, is a part-time referee. Surely it's about just having the best people to do the job, not saying, oh, you have to give up a decent job. To be a referee.
It doesn't necessarily raise the standard, does it?
Not necessarily. There's a fitness issue, I understand that, and you have to be fitter as a referee now than ever before, and you're under huge scrutiny. But we're seeing some guys coming through now. Scott Michalowskis did the Wigan-Wakefield game, not full-time professional. What value have we got over the last 10 or 15 years of having full-time referees? Just... throw that out there.
Let's talk about the repechage. Because we haven't really talked about... We've talked about Huddersfield and we've at length explained what's going wrong there. The other three games, they've all gone the way you would expect the results to go. Leeds winning 62-6 at Featherstone Saturday afternoon. And despite it being on the telly, over 6,500 there, which is a good attendance down the old post office road. Hulkington Rovers beating Batley 58-18 yesterday, which was here live on Radio Yorkshire, and Lee edging out London. It sounds like it should have been much more comprehensive than it was, but 34-30 to the Centurions. Again, a good crowd there, over 4,000. So people are buying into the Super 8 department at Salford. An interesting round of fixtures, but all the results went the way we expected.
Well, I must say, I was at the OKR Battle game. Phil could talk about the Leith Feversen. I didn't see much of that game, to be honest with you. But what I want to say is, you know, well done to the Hilkinson Rovers supporters, first of all, because it was a great turnout. But when the Batley players came out to do the warm-up, they went over to that side of the field there, and the OKR fans, you know, applauded the Batley players to say, well done, congratulations on achieving what you've achieved this year, and we look forward to, you know, to watching you play here for the full 80 minutes, and I'm sure you're going to be, you know, giving us a decent game. And, OK, the 58-18 scoreline doesn't really reflect that, but when you look at it from a point of view from OKR, you know, it's full-time professionals against part-timers, as we say. And if I was the coach of OKR, I would have been saying, you know, I want, for any job satisfaction here, we've got to be beating this team by about 40 points. And that's what they did. But Batley never gave up. You know, they had a good start, scored after 3 minutes, just scored before half-time, and scored the last try of the match as well. But the commitment and effort was there. But again, it's the size and power and the quality and the pace of the Super League side, which got on there. But yeah, Batley fans, you would have credit to the club and the players themselves, you know, they would have credit there, they never gave in. But Hilkinson Rovers, what I was pretty delighted about them is, and I say, as I mentioned with the fans, turned out superbly, gave the respect what Batley deserved. But the two players, Matty Marsh, I thought were outstanding at number six, and a new big James Greenwood in the back row, absolute outstanding juniors from there. And I know the head of rugby, who's there, and he keeps harping on about the junior structures there, the junior sisters, what there. Well, my advice is to any rugby league club in Super League, listen, you've got these junior setups now, play them. Because all these kids want to do, they just want to put that shirt on, they want to prove to the head coaches, they want to prove to the people that matter, that I can play there week in and week out. This is giving opportunities now for coaches to give these youngsters their chance. And I tell you what, Matty Marsh and Greenwood, they didn't let Hilkinson Rovers down yesterday. They played well, just too much class, too much pace, too much power. But one with a short Batley, they didn't, them Batley players and the supporters, they didn't let that club down yesterday. It's a credit to them.
I think John Sharp was saying after the Featherstone Leeds game that there wasn't an obvious margin between the full-time professional stroke international team that Leeds can now call on and part-timers, but he didn't feel that they'd quite done themselves justice, that there were some players out there who hadn't quite risen to the occasion, who can play better than that. And I think on that point of view, he was saying it's a good thing because we've had a preparation to meet a Super League team. The guys who've got aspirations have now played against players who are at the top of their profession, so they can measure themselves, they can benchmark where they are. It gives them the incentive to turn up to training and try and be the best they can be. It was a fabulous party atmosphere. It was great that the sun was out because a lot of people went. Wasn't so great for Featherstone that the sun was out because they could have done with it raining. I'm not sure they made the right decision necessarily with choice of playing into the sun rather than playing up or down the hill, because I think they were always going to run out of energy and playing uphill in the second. Leeds played uphill in the second half, but they'd already got the lead. So they were never going to pull that back. It was a great day from the point of view that Pat Klusky, the CEO at Featherstone, says the three home games in these repechage matches will earn them a quarter of a million quid. And for a club like Featherstone, who he said will use the money judiciously, they won't suddenly become, you know, the all-singing, all-dancing, full-time professional outfit. They need to act responsibly with the extra money that they've got, invest it wisely. They've got some exciting developments with the land that they own around Post Office Road that could make them financially secure over the next few years. And they now need to look at how they engage more people in the community to come along and watch them, because the gap between where they are as the eighth ranked team in all of this and where, you know, Salford are, who are the Leeds are, the first and second ranked team. Salford actually the first ranked team if you take into account the fact that they had points taken off them, then it is a chasm. And there will and should be some questions asked about this disparity between part-time and full-time in terms of duty of care. Somebody said to me as we were coming out of the ground on Saturday afternoon, that was brilliant, it was just like a cup tie. And it was. The atmosphere was great. It was like, Featherstone had a couple of cup ties in the not-too-distant past against Wigan, where they had good crowds and they were beaten relatively easily, but it was a chance to measure Featherstone now with where they actually are in the game, not the Featherstone that won the Cup in 1983. And if it was a Cup tie, Featherstone would have been knocked out on Saturday. They wouldn't have to play another six games of similar intensity against Super League teams. I think that's what we need to look at. I don't think we can overexpose them too often to playing at that level. But to do it as a one-off, a lot of people benefited, particularly down at Featherstone.
And just to pitch it there, where you've had sides in the Championship being exposed to that level, even if it is only for seven games, look at what's happened to Sheffield this year.
And Halifax.
Halifax not as much, because they were on the brink of getting back in there, to be fair, but Sheffield have been nowhere near all year.
Well, Sheffield as well, because they lost three of their best players, and one of them, two of them, Bram Barney and David, all three of them, Pat Walker as well, were playing at Batley yesterday, because quite clearly they didn't want to go full-time professional, you know, and they lost three of their best players because they went full-time professional, so quite clearly as well, the way the Sheffield have been this year, it hasn't worked for them, has it? Simple as that. It hasn't worked.
I still think there is a benefit of playing off in each division to get to your £1 million game. And yes, that would mean that perhaps Featherstone wouldn't get Leeds coming down to Post Office Road. But again, you know, it's been a strange year in that, and Leeds may well be in the middle eights next year, but if that had been Widnes, if it had gone the other way around, then there wouldn't have been 6,500 people.
I'll tell you what as well, we're getting on.
So do you work up to a £1 million game where the bottom ranked team in Super League, however that's decided, plays the top ranked team in the Championship, and that's the only time those two areas come together.
Because we're getting a few, Dennis Bates has said it as well now, and also too Scott Morse come out regarding, you know, the makeup of what is the purpose of this, because, you know, they've no chance of qualifying for the top four, and, you know, and should it be changed? Should it be where if you finish top, you stay on 7 points and second 6 points? So it gives, you know, the lesser teams an opportunity to maybe make it the grand final. So there's question marks over this scenario. Is it the RFL who say we'll give it 3 years and we'll address the situation?
There'll definitely be another year.
3 years and then we'll address the situation. But already now, the people are just saying it's not right, it's not working, is it?
Well, I think we can't judge it until we've seen if a Championship team ultimately gets promoted this year. But what we're aiming for is a £1 million game, which is promotion relegation by virtue of a playoff of some sort. It may well be that the playoff structure we've got at the moment is just too convoluted and contrived.
Artificial.
£1 million game, eh? Huddersfield. Huddersfield are going in there the way they're going, aren't they? What do you reckon, Phil? Matt? Huddersfield?
I still think there's some water to go under that particular bridge.
I said OKR last week, but I still think it won't be Leeds or Salford, definitely.
No, it's not them two. No, there's not an issue with them.
The big game is OKR, Huddersfield, and whenever that is.
I'm away on the weekend in £1 million game. No, I've got no interest in it. I don't care. What rugby league season? Eh? Do whatever you want now.
Why is that, Rich? So, because you're a Wakefield fan, is it?
Yeah, I don't care. Season's done. It's great. Sit and enjoy all this rugby league on the telly.
Scoy, I've got you an invite.
Right, well, it's not to Brazil, is it?
No, sadly not.
Still to come rugby league in Brazil.
Michael Blairmeyers is a regular contributor to this programme. Says, Gary, you can go and help at the London Scholars Summer Camp if you want.
It's a bit too far.
Nice kebabs down there.
Nice kebabs though, yeah. Beer's a bit flat. He's also...
Hopefully you get to see Michael in a couple of weeks when Leeds are down in the capital.
Yes. He's also said that Cumbria may be a hotbed, but nobody goes to watch the teams. Well, I'm sorry, Michael, who goes and watches London? All the scholars.
Fight.
Just saying.
Fight.
Four, three, two, one. Fight. Also, here's one that could be a good one. London players in Super League, or London, like
there's a brilliant London team.
A London-based team.
No, we've done,
London-based team against the Cumbrian team.
Yeah.
Cumbria, Yorkshire, Lancashire.
No, I don't think you need Yorkshire and Lancashire. I think you probably
Cumbria
do.
Cumbria versus Lancashire.
Cumbria going down to play the south of England. Yeah, no problem with that at all. There's a great London team out there.
There's a concept there, isn't there?
Yeah.
And then the winner, the potential four-way series.
You just play for the Rob Purdom Cup, don't you?
Yeah. Would Cumbria people turn out to watch a London representative team?
No, well, I think Cumbria would go to London and play in London.
What crowd would they get?
Well, but the
it's
representative rugby for the Rob Purdom Cup.
Yeah,
but Cumbria is too
crowd, don't we? We want crowds.
Yeah, well,
we
I think
an atmosphere.
Yeah, so we'll build it up.
Did they tip up at Workington for that?
Yeah.
Do you think they tip up to watch a London representative?
Yeah.
No, I'd have them at home playing England Knights and
Yeah, but that this London representative team
have them at home
against. No, they could be. I see they could play each other home and away, couldn't they? Why not?
If it's Perdham of origin,
Perdham of origin. Yeah, there you go.
Brilliant.
We just take all these ideas from the Australians. I can't wait for our version of the NRL rookie. It's going to be great.
The Belhail rookie.
Gary Schofield is Freddie Fittler.
Sean Lunt's still liking our Cumbrian pack anyway.
Gary wouldn't do the NRL rookie UK version because they have a psychologist on there. So.
They wouldn't if I got
Did they also teach halfbacks to keep the ball at the post?
A psychologist anywhere near me. That's why I got the sack at Huddersfield. I wouldn't have a psychologist anywhere near.
Obviously, your grandchildren are trying how to wrestle. On the NRL rookie to provide them the skills and experience to be rugby league players, had them lie in a river in a box and not lose their breath.
Isn't that I'm a Celebrity?
No, it's the NRL rookie. That's what all rugby league players in Australia go through. In fairness, I did enjoy watching the programme. I'm being facetious now, and it was very well...
Wouldn't it be nice if our sport was such over here that we could pitch that as an idea? I mean, the Canadians are going to do a pretty good job of it because they've got some...
What's that, the rookie of the year? Listen, I've already pitched it to Nigel Wood. I've already pitched it.
Right.
Are you going to be our Erin Nolan?
I've already pitched it, so we'll see what happens.
We take a camper van
we will see
around Cumbria.
We will see what happens.
Whoever stays in the tent.
It'd be like the, you know, the Freddie Flintstone, you know, the fish and chips.
Or Max and Paddy.
Yeah. But I've already pitched it to Nigel Wood, so let's watch this space.
Fine for a champion.
I can check the team on. If we're going on the Max and Paddy
thing.
Do you know what? If we're going on the Max and Paddy thing, can you just see Scully and Nigel Wood in sailor suits doing the dance of the night?
Nigel's going to be my psychologist.
He'd get you a good job.
Nigel's not going to be part of the... he's not going to be the Indian Lamb or the Mark Guyon, is he?
He'd have no refreshment problems.
We all had such original nicknames as well. Agent Lammy Lamb.
He likes the idea anyway, don't worry about that. So we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll pitch it to TV
because
Watch.
Because one thing for sure here, I think what that NR rookie does, what it says is, it's players who, you know, maybe got lost to the game and they haven't been given an opportunity, and that's the way I saw it to Nigel, because one thing for sure, when you look at all the talent that is lost in our game, from 19 to 20, because they get disillusioned, there is loads of talent that gets lost. So I want to dig into that talent there now and give them an opportunity. Maybe not just one club coming in, take them all, because I can see decent talent when I see it. Don't worry about that. And I say Alex Walmsley, when I took him away to South Africa in 2010, and I told Leeds, I told Castle, I told Hull about him. Do you know what that says? Oh, because he's 19, it's too late. Load of tosh. Absolute load of tosh. There's loads of talent lost to our game when they get to 90, they say, well, listen, there's no reserve grade now and all this sort of thing. They get lost to the game. Not only lost to the amateur game, but they get lost to a game totally. So that's going to be the full intention. And what are you laughing at now, Richard?
No, Craig sent us a tweet with his idea of how to do promotion relegation, but he's actually drawn it on a piece of paper. It's like an actual diagram.
Craig, who?
We need to read. Just Craig on the
first. Oh, Craig.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all open to a lot of different ideas.
To work it out,
I think it's pretty much what you were saying.
Pen and paper, that's one. Yeah.
Semi-finals and then £1 million game.
Basically, he's saying that you relegate...
Straight knockout competition, Paul, that's what you're saying.
One goes up automatically.
Yeah.
12, Super League 12 gets relegated automatically.
No, I'm not sure about automatically. I think you've got to prove yourself.
And then the 10th... And then there's a semi-final between the 10th... Oh, no.
I don't think
he's missed the 11th place team in Super League. What happens to the 11th place?
That's the magic team.
11th is super place.
I think he means SL 11 rather than.
Can
we retweet it
up
so you can all have a look at it?
11 stays up.
I just don't think we need 7 weeks to tell us what we're probably going to get to, which is, you know, a team in Super League playing a team in the Championship.
But also in the end, though, Phil, is it just where, again, a financial game for these clubs? That's
well,
why they're doing
is
it
a financial game?
Well, Everton are earning £250,000 out of it. Of course it is.
Because they're fortunate enough this year that Leeds are one of the teams that are in there. But, as I say, if it had been Widnes, it wouldn't have had quite the same attraction.
Well, unfortunately, Leeds are in there this year.
Yeah, but I'm saying that it fell really well for Featherstone.
Mm.
Especially get Bradford and Leeds back to back.
But you look at... you know, with Richard with his Wakefield hat on, how is Michael Carter going to sell the games at Bellevue that are coming up? I mean, in some ways, he doesn't.
There on Sunday.
In some ways, he doesn't have to because of the extra money he's got from central funding by finishing in the top eight.
Well, I guess how I could sell it, how you said earlier, Phil, we're playing the kids. We're playing all the kids. Come and see the future of Wakefield Trinity.
Yeah.
That's how they can sell it.
That's how you do it.
Michael Carter has a tough enough time selling the
But that's what I mean, you know.
Wakefield anyway, regardless of whether...
So I'm not sure finance is an issue in this, because there are some games that are really hard to sell. If, you know, there is a novelty value.
Yeah, with this Wakefield.
But that rubs off quite quickly. You know, how do Bradford sell any games at Oddsall in the Shield?
The novelty coming up is we still don't know where Wakefield will be playing their rugby league in 2017.
Well, we don't even know where the Shield final's going to be.
It might not be Dewsbury.
It might not. Could be Featherstone. They've got a nice ground.
They've got a brilliant ground. The one thing you can... If anybody hasn't been to Featherstone for a while, then I would encourage you to go and have a look at the fabulous work that volunteers have done.
Oh, Featherstone's great.
At that ground.
Oh, it is, yeah. The volunteers at Featherstone...
They really have.
And Matt
it looks
the chair,
great.
They've done a great job. What crowd do you think Leeds will get on Friday? Get a good response?
They'll get 10 at least.
Yeah, I think they'll get 12.
They won't get 12, 14.
I think this novelty value, it's an important game because whoever comes out of this with two wins is almost one toe into Super League survival.
Hull KR can be quite well supported when they want to speak, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not on the telly. How many were there for the league game?
14, I think.
Soon find out.
Welcome to the Radio Yorkshire Championship Shield Roundup. And the good news...
that was quick, thank you.
For fans of the Championship Shield is that Adam O'Brien played at hooker for the Bradford Bulls this week. That concludes.
And as we've already mentioned, it looks like both Cumbrian clubs are going to get relegated.
It's taken Ronan Smith 8 weeks to realise that Adam O'Brien's a quality hooker.
One thing I would say about the Shield, for all its lack of intrinsic value,
we'll be there for the final if there's a Yorkshire team.
Look at Sheffield. Yeah. Suddenly third in that division. Well, you know, in that eight.
It's an old Yorkshire top
Phil,
four.
No,
no, but there's been a significant improvement at the Eagles. So well done.
Don't mean no.
It's an old Yorkshire top four. I mean, let's tip Dewsbury. Let's hope Dewsbury get to the final and win the Shield. Because they'll probably appreciate it.
You need competitions that teams can win, but...
So
not,
do you know
not
do you know
contrived
what Leeds are doing? Do you know the competition what Leeds are in?
Do they
get a shield? Whoever finishes top there, do they get a shield?
The top three teams get the £1.85 million next year.
Oh, so there's no trophy ending that way, okay.
It'd be embarrassing to get a trophy, wouldn't it?
15,384 at the league fixture back in on the 1st of April. Richard Silverwood. Who's he?
What happened to him?
Who?
Dunno.
Who cares?
So that was our Championship Shield roundup. I mean, not the League One Shield's even better. Seven teams playing off to be.
There's no semi-final.
Is that final played at the same venue where we don't know where the final is for this?
But there's no semi-final.
Is it going to be a triple header then?
Why haven't they announced where the final is? Does it really matter where it is?
Well, no, just, but what have Gloucestershire, I mean, Oxford, South Wales, and Hemel to play for? There isn't even a semi-final.
Pride.
Yeah. And again, you know, I know there's a lot of hard work done. We've had Tim Rumford in here, but 103 people at Oxford this week for their game against Hemel.
And I bet most of them were from Cass.
Don't worry, Gary, we won't send you to the Championship Shield final. You can have a Sunday off or something. I'm not here that weekend, so I'm not bothered.
Oh, God.
Well, you'd suspect Bradford are going to be there, don't you?
You would suspect Bradford would be in there, yes. So it's going to be a win. It is what it is.
Yes.
There has to be another eight that are just split off away from the ones that are playing.
Unless you have four divisions of 10. In which case you don't. But never mind. What about the Wolfpack's first signings all being announced? Three current Super League players playing in League One next year.
We did that last week.
Craig Hall, 100 tries next season.
Well, did we know had they announced the Warrington lads last week?
Yeah, we spoke about it last week, yeah.
But they've now got an Australian halfback from Illawarra Cutters.
Who's going to play for England? Sorry. Couldn't resist.
Cumbria.
London.
And a couple of more big names to come, I gather.
For Toronto, yeah, they're just going to embarrass everybody, aren't they?
Apparently, there's a new signing coming in at Cass as well, isn't there? It was mentioned on their show yesterday afternoon, because it got tweeted out saying that there was a new signing imminent at Cass.
Who can it be? What position they're looking for? They seem quite full up for that, don't they? Is Solomona staying at Cass?
As far as we know.
Solomona staying there?
Unless they're signing Sevelio. Full time.
It's not Jared Hayden, though, we know that.
No. No. Because he's signing for Lee when they get promoted.
You know, the lad who won the NRL rookie, and I've already forgotten his name. Do you reckon he was so sad that he didn't sign for Gold Coast and went to Canberra?
No, because he lived near Canberra. He's a bit of a home bird.
Well, it's good to see Terry Matteson back on the telly.
It was.
I did enjoy him at Canberra. Always a good
interview. Spoke well as well, I thought.
Yeah. Always a good interview on him.
I've not seen it, I'll be honest with you. It's normally on a Friday night, and I'm normally again.
I don't think we've seen the end of one or two of the people that were in that series.
Erin Mullins is on the footy show every week.
So yeah, she signed for Barrow.
She's playing in the halves of England.
Cumbria. We've found our half for Cumbria.
Erin, welcome. Let's talk about International Rugby League, because, dear listener, you thought that the world was like Yorkshire and Lancashire, but no, there's a wide world out there. I've been watching the Olympics. It's full of wacky countries with great flags, mainly in Africa. But we're talking about South America, where Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire is hoping to send on a fact-finding mission. Because there's some big games coming up in the autumn.
We're going to be broadcasting live from Miramar in Argentina, where teams from Brazil and Chile, the Chilean team, hopefully all made up of residents, will play in a Tri-Nations.
We mentioned Argentina a few weeks ago, didn't we?
I think we did, because it's obvious country to go for, isn't it? Because I've obviously got a...
No, it was a Sunday. We spoke about it after I'd been at the Under-20s Rugby Union World Championship. Oh, yes. And we mentioned that the Argentinian side were really good and they'd be really suited to rugby league, and they do good steaks and good beer scores, so you'd be alright.
Negrete in the Midlands of Chile, with a population approaching 10,000, advertised their rugby league sessions with a cartoon poster of Darren Lockyer. What more could you... I think it's far more important that we get nines in the Commonwealth Games.
This is obviously where we're going.
Yeah, I think if something has come out of Olympic fever, and let's face it, we're all watching things that we only watch once every 4 years. There were people tweeting about fencing, for goodness sake, last night. And it didn't involve creosote. But,
I was going to go with stolen goods, but well.
There is, an appetite for international competition. And we have a product in nines that can provide that opening and that gateway for us. The next Commonwealth Games in 2018 is on the Gold Coast. So there's absolutely no reason why Rugby League can't be included in that. The Commonwealth suits us. A lot of the Commonwealth nations play Rugby League. I think there'd be a huge amount of interest. I think we should open it up to women's competition as well. We've seen the Gillaroos and the Black Ferns have played some fabulous rugby. I'm sure that we could get an international team. Papua New Guinea, watching those ladies play rugby league would generate enormous interest. We've got Fiji as part of the Commonwealth, Canada, who, their under-19s were brilliant the last time the Commonwealth Games were in Edinburgh, Rugby League did have a side tournament. It wasn't part of the formal games. It was done at under-19 level, and Canada won it. They were absolutely superb. So I think there is a case for us saying now, look, we can't hang around with this anymore. Nines is the way we sell the international game on the widest possible scale. Brilliant, we've got a World Cup coming up. We've had the draw. Looks good. You can plan ahead. But what is going to spread the game to places like Jamaica and through the Caribbean, to Canada, to the Pacific Islands, is nines. And if we're going to have a meaningful nines in the Commonwealth Games, we've got to start playing nines somewhere. Got to bring it into the schedule.
Kyle Amor's up for it as well. He's got
what, nines?
Shot. No, playing as a Cumbrian team on the
Twitter. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think he's also one of the people that proposed a couple of years ago that whatever is happening at semi-professional level in Cumbria, people have to now work together. And if that means the dreadful M word, it may well be the only way forward if Workington and Whitehaven were to both get relegated this season. You can still keep your identity, run academies or run a feeder team in Whitehaven and Workington, but something has to happen to bring together the remaining power that there is there and harness kids from that area so they don't have to go and play in Wigan and St Helens and Warrington. But
witness.
Let's play nines. Seriously.
Agree, Gary?
Not convinced, to be honest with you. Not convinced, but anyway.
You could coach Jamaica. Red strap. Convinced.
What do you mean red stripes? I've never tried that, actually. Is it all right?
You
I'm getting the nod there from my own.
The 2021 World Cup bid from America. You're behind that.
Yes, I am indeed. Absolutely. Of course I am. Yeah.
But wouldn't it be easier for us to spread the game through nines?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Because you only need a squad of 15. You can play small-sided tournament games. Take it to the Commonwealth. I mean,
I remember the good old days of the Northern Rail Nines up at Fylde Rugby Union Club.
We've never done it properly. We've never put resources. We made it an under-20s competition, which immediately robbed it of any value when it was the Carnegie Nines.
The Nines at Fylde was a decent event, but the only problem is, on the Saturday, they kind of took it seriously. The players then had a night on the drink, and the Sunday was a bit of a...
Did you ever go to the York Nines when they started?
No, I didn't, no.
They were brilliant, and teams were invited from Paris and Ireland and Scotland. It was a club-based international tournament, but it was really, really good. But again, it was a private initiative. It wasn't done from within the game. We need to seriously look at what's happening in the Olympics. The fact that you were even mentioning the score of a women's rugby union sevens.
Until Britain started losing them.
Yeah, but
you turned it
surely we can do this with nines in the Commonwealth Games.
The bowls in the Commonwealth Games.
Well, there you go. Is there an appetite out there? Well, it's probably too late to have a poll, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll just say yes. No, people want to see... People like what... As you say...
People who don't normally watch...
I can understand nines being good for internationally to expose the game to the kind of audiences we need to get it exposed to.
Yeah. But look at 2020 cricket, which not only is now culminates in a World Cup...
But that struggled this year, Phil. The attendances are down in 2020 cricket this year.
Not so much in India,
But in England they are. Yeah. It's struggling
well,
in England
now. It might well be that the format in England isn't quite the right one, because they're stuck between counties and cities, aren't they?
And they're now trying to talk about doing franchises, where they're going to do city-based teams, but that's not going to work around here, because, I'm going to refer to my lovely wife again, she would go to Headingley and watch Yorkshire. She would not go to Headingley and watch Leeds.
No. Well, she might watch Hull, though, if they had a... franchise.
Yeah, but have they got a decent cricket ground in Hull where they could stage such a fixture? We don't know, do you? But that's it.
They could play at Scarborough.
I'd spot Scarborough, I wouldn't spot Leeds.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is that the logistics of nines is that there's the Big Bash in Australia, there's whatever it's called in India, there's the West Indies have one, there is a 20s tournament here. All of that supplements, you eventually end up at a World Cup, or in our case, maybe a Commonwealth Games. If you could have a World Cup nines in the intervening 2 years between each Commonwealth Games, but we need to do something. This is what we miss. The exposure of road race cycling, weightlifting, all these sports that we only come across tangentially, but we become passionate about them.
And the strange thing, of course, is with these rugby sevens in the Olympics, really, the only recognisable star out there is Sonny Bill Williams, because the rest are all sevens players who no one generally watches.
Absolutely. So nine.
Jared Haynes is nearly there as well.
Nines is a better game because you have to be able to defend.
Jared Haynes was also nearly in league.
Scully, did you ever play in the Wigan sevens at Central Park, which always used to be a couple of weeks before the season started?
No, didn't like them.
Too much running.
Yeah, won't play them.
But. Wigan Sevens, oh, used to be a great day.
WDNHO Wills.
Great day out.
The Wills Sevens used to be on grandstand.
Yeah. Great day out, great occasion, yeah, but I just didn't want to play Sevens.
And it was in August as well, so it was the highest.
It was
summer.
The traditional season opener, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
First Sunday in August.
Yeah,
Wigan
the Leeds Sevens were at the end of the season.
Got plenty of interest, plenty of people there.
Yeah, absolutely. And some stars, Eddie Rombo.
Oh, please.
Eddie Rombo came to prominence in the Sevens.
What did he do when he played the 13 against side game?
Same.
They were rubbish.
But nines may well breed people that are specialists in nines. We should embrace it.
Let's look ahead for the final 10 minutes to the weekend in rugby league.
Eddie Rombo.
Kenyan rugby league.
I'm not going there.
I think he's a judge over there in Kenya now.
Is he?
Hmm?
No. I judged him as a rugby league player. He was rubbish.
Judge Rinder.
Did all right when he was at Dewsbury. He ended up at Dewsbury, didn't he, Eddie Rombo?
Yeah.
There were highlights of a Leeds.
Do you know what?
Let's see if we can get him on the
program. We had the pair of them at the same time. John Gallagher.
I was just going to mention.
We had John Gallagher and Eddie Rombo
on the On the Leeds website.
The pair of them, a fullback and on the wing. Absolute rubbish.
On the Leeds website this week in the build-up to the Featherstone game, they had some footage of previous games.
Yeah, John Gallagher scored a couple of tries. I put him over for him.
He looked good.
They were rubbish. And we had
you made him look good.
We had the pair of them at the same time. John Gallagher and Eddie Rombo. Dave Ward.
He was running off you, was
Ward,
John?
Dave Ward. he couldn't believe it, but anyway.
John Gallagher was running nice lines off your passes. Yeah, he looked quality.
That's directors for you, just signing. We did in Leeds M time. Do you know why we signed Eddie Rumbo? I'll tell you the true story.
Because he played well in the Wigan Sevens.
We played well in the Wigan Sevens, right. And Doug Lawton, that so-and-so, Doug Lawton.
He said, there's the next Martin Afari.
Correct. He put it out there. he were the witness coach. Yeah, he were the witness coach, Doug Lawton, right? And he said, I spotted the next Martin Afari. Leeds went, oh, we'll give him a trial. Right, we're going to sign him. And we signed him the day after. After the Sevens. And David Ward was going to resign. And he offered his resignation anyway because Ward didn't want him. He said, I don't want him. He says, he's got a bit, we don't want him just because Doug Lawton said he's going to be the next Martin Afari. You know, anyway. So we said to Ward, no, we're made, you're not going to resign. No, we want you to stay anyway. They signed Eddie Rombo because Lawton said he'd see the next Martin Afari.
He did alright at Dewsbury, didn't he?
Yeah, he did alright.
Eddie was a bit of a cult figure. At his level.
This has been a strange 2 hours, hasn't it?
It's been good.
Very strange.
Cumbria.
But good, yes, good.
We've got Kenya in the nines now, coached by Eddie Rombo.
It's brilliant. We've got Cumbria coached by Gary Chambers and Craig Murdoch, who's been on Twitter saying he wanted to be the PR man, but we've told him he's the assistant coach.
He's got enough jobs.
Yeah.
He's got enough work. It's great. Yeah, I hate these people. We're really good at sport, and then they're really good at their other job as well. It's like, okay, he'd be good at just one thing.
And the other day, he's going around with Scully coaching halfbacks for the RFL.
Mm.
Scoring tries at Twickenham and all this. I don't know.
So, this week's fixtures, eh?
This week's fixtures.
Yes, go on then.
Starting Thursday night, Widnes versus Hull FC. All the build-up is done for our TV partners because they can just say, oh, look what happened last time and it all fell apart and then they were good and now they're rubbish.
Well, one thing for sure, all the emotion what Phil and Matt were talking about early in the programme for Hull, all that emotion now has got to go because quite simply, they've got two games to get themselves ready for Wembley in 2 weeks' time. Widnes won't be easy.
Not easy for Widnes to fly back from Catalan and play a Thursday game.
5-day turnaround, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Harsh.
It's not.
Anyway, we're talking about a professional rugby league team and we're turning up on Thursday night at Widnes and I don't buy into that one a little bit. They're at home. They like playing on that service. So for mine, Hull have got it all to do. And if what Phil and Matt were saying, there still might be a bit emotional after that semi-final victory.
Not this week. Hull will win easy this week because this is the game where Lee Radford doesn't even need to give a team talk. I was locked out of the dressing room this time, corresponding fixture earlier. I'm not even going to go in there this week. The guys know that they've got some unfinished business here at Widnes. This is the one fixture that we've really let ourselves down this year, and we need to hit back. I can't see Hull not winning, winning convincingly.
I'm tipping Widnes to win. I am, after last week's performance.
Are you at this one, Matt?
Yes.
Who are you going for, Matt?
I think
you just said Hull are going to win.
He wants to go home tonight.
I want to go home in a happy car, so Hull.
Hull will win easy.
Who are you going for, Rich?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Hull. I'm not very good on the tipping competition, as Matt will tell you. I should have given up.
No, don't give up. You've got a chance of winning more money now with Super H comp.
I'm going to let the lads in the office pick me once the rest of the season. I might even let Kat do it because she probably knows more than I do. Friday. In the Super 8s, Castleford Tigers versus Wigan Warriors at the Menderhose Jungle. Which should be a good game.
Should be, yeah. I just think Wigan have got so much on the line now. I'm just going to wedge towards the Warriors by about four, me.
They can't score points, though.
unless they play Wakefield at home.
But Phil, on aggregate,
you're still winning.
Wakefield have won on aggregate over the three games.
It depends which Cast side turns up, doesn't it? Because they've been pretty useless at home this year. They've saved some of the worst performances for playing at home in the jungle. Widnes at home being one of them. I just think Wigan have got a big incentive on Friday night, haven't they? Especially if Hull lose on Thursday, Wigan have got that chance to go top of the table on Friday night. And I don't know, I just think Wigan by less than a score.
I reckon Cass just want to keep their season alive for as long as they can. And this is another week where they can be kingmakers and nominally keep themselves still in the chase for the top four. And I just think the difficulty for Wigan is when teams play in a really unstructured way against them, and Cass will do that. And I'm going with a Luke Gale inspired Cass win.
I think this will be tasty. As I mentioned before, no love lost between the two coaches. Cass will just play with their vibrant best, won't they? That's probably a question of the Wigan defence. So it'll be tasty, entertaining game. I'm going Cass to win this by 7.
St Helens versus Catalans.
You didn't give us your.
I'll go Cass. Again, if Sean Way's listening.
Yeah, I'm going St Helens here. Just keep the great form going. Yeah. Everybody's happy. Smile on the faces. I think St Helens will beat Catalans quite easy, to be honest with you.
I don't know if it'll be easy, but I think that Saints probably will, and that will be the top four finished, sewn up.
Yeah, done. Same. Dusted.
Live on Radio Yorkshire, we are at Headingley for Leeds versus Hall Kingston Rovers.
What about. We're doing them in order, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Otherwise, I'll get lost.
Leeds.
Too many fixtures.
Leeds.
Again, I just think that with that machine starting to click now, the fact that Briscoe and Hall are taking so much pressure off the forwards, that Seguiaro's having fun, and he hasn't even run at a defence yet, but he's going to. I'm going to go with Leeds. Again, the worst performance of the season at Headingley was against Hull KR. I think Brian McDermott's team talk this week will be, there's the DVD, watch it, and off you go.
Yeah, Hull KR after the good confidence boost against Batley, but Leeds are where they are at this moment in time. Plenty of confidence. Big game players back, everybody's playing well. There's only one winner there for mine, that's the Rhinos.
We're running out of time, so Warrington to beat Wakefield?
By plenty. Apparently, Con on Twitter says Widnes have only got 14 fit first teamers this week, so full by 40 is the goal by Con.
Mm-hmm. Huddersfield-Featherstone, our other country game this weekend.
Well, Featherstone again, just being a part-time, but Huddersfield are shocking at this moment.
Huddersfield by 40 for me.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
I reckon Huddersfield will win, but I don't think it'll be that easy.
Pressure's on Huddersfield because they have to win now, but I think they will win. Although there could be as many Featherstone fans there as Huddersfield, which would be interesting.
I'll go with Huddersfield. Matt, we've had some tweets.
Yeah, Ashley Kilpatrick on Twitter's picked his Cumbrian side. His forwards are the same as ours, to be fair. His backs, though, are Elliot Miller, Sam Forrester, Ryan Shaw, Jake Moore, Jordan Burns, Greg McNally and Jordan Johnston. And he's put Brett Phillips onto the bench instead of Liam Harrison.
Well, I mean, you've all done well to pick these teams that aren't actually going to play a game, which is a shame. But
maybe we've started something.
Well, let's hope we started something, apart from the
We've got Sean Lunt and Kyle Amore interested. Gary's well up for it as well.
We've got a reason to play London.
Yeah. Michael Blairmeyer's
the Cumbria lads are up for it. Don't worry about that. They love representing the county. They would love it, without a doubt. No matter who they would play, they would give it with plenty of commitment, plenty of enthusiasm and passion. They would love being in camp together, without a doubt. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Jam sandwiches for all.
It's like cream teas against jam sandwiches, isn't it, if you think about it?
We should have taken a formations game there, shouldn't we?
Of course we should.
Scotland, having seen them during
We are. Scotland are playing work.
But also, if we get the World Cup in 2021, we're not even taking a game up in Cumbria, are we?
I'd like to think we would.
All right. We've got to do. Surely. We have to do. It's a great place.
By then, they may have declared UDI and be in the World Cup. We don't know.
The World Cup might be in USA, then.
Let's hope so, eh? Let's hope so. Expansion.
Expansion.
That's me. The greatest game of all.
He wants to get in his camper van with Nigel Wood and travel across the Caribbean.
Don't forget Adam Fogarty. Adam's he's Nigel's minder at this moment in time, so he's his minder. So there'll be three of us there. Better be a big caravan, I guess, then.
It's going to be a horse box.
A bit half my own.
As Alan Partridge used to say, on that bombshell, it's time for us to disappear. Two live games this weekend. Friday, Leeds versus Talking Rovers. Sunday, it's Huddersfield versus Featherstone. Matt Horton, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Rich.
Enjoy your weekend watching...
Witness and Warrington. And Leeds. I'm at Leeds on Friday as well.
You get to go home to the home of Rugby League on Sunday, so that'd be good for you. get us a programme. Phil, enjoy Headingley.
I shall.
And wherever else you're travelling.
Yes.
Gary, you will be with us on Sunday. At the John Smith Stadium, you can count the crowd if you get bored.
Thank you very much, and I'll be taking my pillow again. Thanks, Rich.
What are you singing this week, Scoy?
I've got to figure something, because I'll be singing on Sunday, won't I? Because that game is going to be...